You can take your seats. Happy Resurrection Day. What an incredible time. What a beautiful day God has made. It didn't just show up. Didn't just happen. This is a day God made. And when He made it, He made you with purpose in it. God is ever present with you. He's always with you. And what does that mean? You hear that all the time. He's ever present with me. Well, who are you talking about? It's not the you, it's the Him. God, Almighty, all present. God is perfect. God is perfect. I heard a song that moved me the other day. And it was something to the effect that we have perfect love and we're perfectly human. You're all looking at me going, why perfectly human? What does that mean? That God's way is perfect. And when He created you, He created you with such perfect identity, such perfect purpose. But that you may ignore it, that you may not know the power of His might, doesn't mean He's not present. And when I say God's present, what I'm saying is what God said. When they asked Jesus, how should we pray? Remember what He said? He said, when you pray, pray this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done. How many of you believe you're born again? How many of you believe you're saved? You're born again, you're saved. How many of you believe the Spirit of God is in you? How many believe there's no power but of God? There's no power but of God. There just isn't. There's no competitor with God. He's God. All power comes from Him, and there isn't any other place to get it. And God isn't against you. He's for you. And if God is with you, and He's all power, and He's for you, then there isn't anything in life that can be against you. What you need to know and what you need to say is God's up to something. God's up to something, and that's it. He said, if you're fighting and contending, you're not seeing it the way it is. I'm all power and all authority. I'm God with you. And all you have to know is I'm blessed. And I know that I am. There's an old song, I'm blessed and I know that I am. I don't know the rest of the lyrics, but I like that part. You're perfectly made. You're perfectly loved. You're perfectly chosen. You're perfectly forgiven. You're perfectly empowered. You're perfectly raised up. You're perfectly alive. There's more perfect about you than imperfection. As a matter of fact, there's no imperfection in Christ. And if it's no longer you and you really believe, and if you're looking at what you do and don't do, you lost it. And if you're thinking that you can do whatever you want to do, you lost it. But when you really believe it's no longer I that lives, but Christ is alive in me, something happens inside of your head. Something different happens to your consciousness. Something changes in your mind. And those battles and those warring and those evil presence leave you. Because evil is not a presence. Evil is an absence. When Adam and Eve walked in the garden, they ate of the tree of life and they lived. But what they really ate of was the Word of God. That's what the tree was. Because God said, eat it and live. And God said, don't eat that, the tree of doubt. They doubted God is the only reason they ate it. No other reason. The cunning serpent had no authority, had no power. God had given them dominion over all the earth. All they had to do was say, bow down and worship God. That's it. End of story. The end. Give you dominion over every creature. And every creature God made, including the serpent, the Word says God looked at it, and He called it blessed, and He called it good, and He gave it some intelligence. Just like He troubled the sea, because God wants you to know how powerfully in you He is. So things express His glory. That's what God's all about, sharing His glory with His people, revealing His glory. As a matter of fact, the angels look at you because they know God will express a theme of glory through you that can only be seen through obedience and faith. And Jesus made it clear, you don't need faith if you see me. But I'm pleased when you see me by faith. So God created this incredible universe, this perfect setting to reveal his glory, where you'd have opportunities to eat of the tree of doubt, and you have opportunities to eat of the tree of life every single day. And the tree of life is the word of God, Jesus Christ, just like he was the rock in the wilderness. And they drank from that same spiritual rock who is Christ. He's always there. He's always been there. He's always with you. And what that means is you're always okay. You're better than okay. You're all right. You're better than all right. You're good. You're better than good. You're great. You're better than great. You're God chosen. I love this day because God made it. And we get to celebrate the day of his resurrection. But I woke up this morning and thinking about how special this day is, and then remembered that it was like this yesterday. And then I remembered it was like this last week, and the Sunday prior, and the Monday prior, and the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that other Sunday. But it's what I understood. Your faith is your mind. The kingdom of God is the mind of God, the will of God. Jesus said, I came to reveal the kingdom. And I want you to pray that the kingdom of God, I mean, I want you to pray. You don't have to sweat, but you can when you pray it. You don't have to be on your knees, but you can. If you drive yourself to your knees, you won't be driven to your knees. Because God's given us the dominion to believe him by faith. There's only one thing to do. What do we do? Just one thing. Only one thing you have to do in life. Just one thing. And if you do that one thing, you'll do everything else right. What's that one thing?
Believe God.
Believe God. Just believe God. That means I believe that he's going to tell me what I don't know that I need to know. That means I believe that he's ordered my steps. That means I believe that no evil would befall the righteous. That means I believe God is with me always. That means I believe out of my mouth and out of my belly will flow rivers of life-giving water. That means I believe God will keep me young and keep me strong and keep me healthy, keep me happy, keep me filled with joy and peace and wisdom and intelligence and insight and understanding. That means God has ordered your steps, and only God, only God. But according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. What does your faith say? My faith looks for the good that God is, because God is only good. If your faith only looks for the God that is good and doesn't look for the excuse, doesn't look for the reason why, you don't need to figure out why things are going the way they are. It's not up to you to figure it out. It's up to you. Believe God. I believe God is present. I believe God in his presence is the fullness of my joy. He is all things. He's not all you need. He's all there is. He's all there ever will be. He is the fullness of everything you would possibly desire in the deepest recesses of your mind. He is God present with you. He is omnipresent. He can hear you. He can hear Leanne. He can hear Donna. He can even hear Jonathan. I think Jonathan's like Peter. The angel talked about Peter. Jesus talked about Peter. There was something interesting about Peter that he was referenced. Even when the angel came, he said, and tell Peter, go tell Peter too. I thought, man, what a great to be Peter. I wonder if Peter knew how blessed he was, that Jesus acknowledged him, that Jesus revealed something very powerful when he rebuked him. How blessed was Peter? I was sharing this with my wife, and we were talking about it, and she says, I think he was Jesus' favorite. And I said, yeah, just like me. When they came down and they saw that the tomb was empty, they saw something they didn't know they were seeing. They were seeing a brand new world that had never existed in that way before. In the genesis of time, God created man, created woman. He blessed them. He gave them dominion. And he said, do one thing. Just believe me. And there's only one thing. There's always only one thing. You think there's a lot of things. That's not true. There's really only one thing. Just like there was in the garden, there's only one thing. Just one thing. Believe God or doubt him. Don't doubt him. Believe him. Just one thing. Had they believed, they'd never tasted the tree. The tree wasn't evil. The tree was forbidden. God blessed everything, including that tree in the garden. Everything. So he blessed everything. But he sets an order in your life so you do one thing. You trust in him implicitly, completely, totally, and absolutely. You allow your ear to hear your mouth say what God has said. And when you pray, not my will, but your will be done, guess what? You are the will of God. When you pray according to his will, you are his will. He doesn't turn a deaf ear. He answers you. Not my will, your will be done. And then guess who you are? You're the will of God. You're the will of God. We've been churched out of faith. We've been taught out of peace. We've misunderstood our standing isn't with him. Our standing is in him and he in us. I in you and you in me as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Abide, that means stay there. In the Old Testament, when God would rebuke a people for worshiping idols, and by the way, idols, Jesus said, are nothing. An idol really isn't anything. An idol is a man making himself God. That's what an idol is. It's always about one thing. Just one thing. Just one thing. Believe God. And you're blessed. Doubt God, and you don't know your blessing. Believe God and stay blessed. And when God would rebuke them, he would tell them, tear down the idols. And he said, and don't even let their name come out of your mouth. Don't even mention them. Don't even mention them. And how often do we talk about the evil and the wicked and we're the redeemed. We're supposed to be they that proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our calling, nothing else. Nothing else. God came to me one time. Christ came to me one time in my life when I thought that I could help him out. Stay in ministry, but I'm going to create a business, and I'll do well in business, and I'll help support the gospel, and then I don't even have to receive an offering. And people will never say, you're doing it for money. I think that's a good idea. I thought it was a great idea, so I did it. Jesus came to me one day, woman at one end of the table, Jesus at another. And the woman said to Jesus, you've given him everything, and he's done nothing. I know it doesn't sound very, you know, like, way, good pastor, what a great guy. That's what she said to Jesus. And then Jesus, he didn't say, oh, it's okay, son. It's going to be all right. He looked at me and he said, if you don't go now and do what I call you to do, he said, you will have sold the kingdom for a price. For 2 years I lived in terror. 2 years. Sold the kingdom because I was trying to do what Peter was trying to do. I was trying to help him out. He doesn't need our help. He just needs us to trust him. He just needs us to believe that he's God. That all things work together for good. I took my business. I tried to figure out, you know, what the right time was. And I just came down to one time that fear had enough of me and I had enough of fear. Because God said, if you don't do it, I've told you you're going to sell the kingdom for a price. I mean, I couldn't have been any weaker in my knees. Woke up in a sweat. So when I finally said, it's gone, I said, I'm selling my business, never advertised it. It was gone, gone. Someone came up and said, I'll take it. Took it, and I went in ministry, and we've never stopped since. God didn't need my help, but I needed his rebuke. Sometimes we want his help, and we really need his rebuke. We need to hear what he has to say, because in his rebuke is tender mercy. In his rebuke is truth. And you can't live on a lie. You'll starve to death. But the truth, that'll set you free. And you just don't need to help him out. You don't need to help him out. You don't need to deliver yourself. You don't need to overcome the evil one. Jesus did that for you. You don't need to tell the devil a liar. He loves the conversation with you. He knows he is. But he just likes that you acknowledge him like a God. When the disciples came, remember, and they said, we're excited because we cast out demons in your name. He says, don't talk to me about that. I've already seen him fall from. He fell from power. He's already fallen from power. He didn't fall with power. He didn't fall into power. He fell away from power. Jesus said, don't rejoice over that. But we've been preached and teached and taught to do it. We do it all the time. We don't, but a lot of people do. I wonder where the transformation is. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The Lord God, he is one. Amen. Worship him. Yes. He doesn't need your help. He has no competition, and he knows it. Do you? Why would we waste our time talking to the dark when we can share the light? He said, I've made you a light in the world. He said, shine, and that's what he did. When the Marys came down to the tomb, he was gone. What he was wrapped in was laying there folded neatly. Jesus was neat. That's why I like to be neat. I believe Jesus was neat. And he told him, he said, go and tell them. And as they're walking, guess what? There he is. There he is. He is alive. He talked to a lot of people. A lot of people saw him. A lot of people bore witness of him. The word says he did so many wonders that we couldn't write a book big enough to contain all that Jesus said. I said a Sunday or so ago, it would be so big you'd need really big, strong men walking in. Shelley liked that. She said, I want to be at that church. I don't know what's wrong with her. Pray for her, please. But you don't have to know it all. You just have to do one thing. Know he has risen. He's not among the dead. And the reason he did that, he didn't do it because he needed it. He did it because you did. He did it because he wanted to change you. He came into a body, but he didn't come into a body the way you came into a body. He came into a temple by the Holy Spirit. The word said the Holy Spirit came, spoke to Mary and said, you're going to conceive. She said, I'm not married. He said, you don't need it. I don't need your help. This is the doing of God, not the doing of man. All I need you to do is believe me. And the word says she rejoiced and she said, blessed am I. I like that. Mary knew how to talk. She said, they'll call me blessed. They're going to call me blessed. They're just going to call me blessed. The enemy, the great enemy, is after you. Who's the enemy? Doubt and religion. That's the great enemy. Doubt and religion teach you out of the truth, teach you how to do it yourself, teach you how to fight. Sounds like the old law to me. Jesus said, I am the way. One time Lazarus died. He only died one time. Well, actually died twice, but the first time was pretty cool. And when he died, the word says that his sister said, Martha said to him, she said, Jesus, if you had come sooner. Interestingly enough, Jesus, another time where he just took his time. He just took his time. We think God's doing things in our lives when you can look and go, basically, I don't need any faith. I don't need any faith. I don't have to believe God. My knees aren't trembling. I feel good. I don't need any faith. I've lived in faith so long, I don't know what it is to live without my knees trembling from time to time. And I found that when I'm weak, he makes me strong. He, not me, he. And the strength of God is greater than anything you could possibly do. And he says, your brother will live. And she says, I know, in the resurrection. We always want to put everything off to another time or blame something or someone. That's religion. It's a killer. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Not a life. I am the resurrection. Not a resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And then he said something else again. He said, Father, I'm saying this for them, not for me, not for you, because I know you hear me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. God's saying to you, you have to come alive and know that he is the resurrection and the life. He came because he loves you so much, because there's so much about you that he loves. There's so much about who he created you to be, to love. And he loves you greater than any love you could fathom, greater than any love you could imagine. And he loves you deeply, and he loves you continually. Whether you believe him or you doubt him, he's God, so he doesn't change. He just keeps doing who he is. He that dwells in love dwells in God. Why? Because God is love. That's who he is. And he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. They came to get him one day. And religion depicts that hell was excited because it thought it was going to kill Jesus. And actually, the total opposite is true. Hell was not excited. Satan was not excited. Demons were not excited. Death was not excited. There was nothing to be excited about. Because for the very first time, they had nothing to do with anything that was going on. Nothing, couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything. We know what the devil was thinking about Jesus going to the cross. Not what religion teaches us, but what God says because of who God is. We know what the devil was thinking. He was thinking, Jesus, don't go to the cross. I mean, do anything. Heal, raise the dead, preach, but don't go to the cross. And we know it because when Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'm going to die on a cross, Peter said, don't do it. Don't say it. And the word says he rebuked him sharply. Peter rebuked Jesus. Can you imagine that? And Jesus said this, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of man. In other words, you're selfish and you're thinking about yourself, Peter. And you sound just like the devil. He doesn't want me to go either. Because he knows when I do, he knows it's over. He knows it's over. And what did he do? What did he do? Let's think about it for a minute. Satan fell from power because he was cast out powerless. He's a liar. So may your neighbor be, or your friend, or someone in your house. So, believe the truth, and only the truth. Pretty easy battle to win, right? Can't go where you go because you go by faith. Death can't follow you because we're made alive in him, and he can't die again. And neither can you. Your mind can't die. Your spirit can't die. Your soul can't die. Because it's made alive in him. Just one thing. Just one thing. Believe God. Just one thing. Believe God. The word says that when he was on the cross, he was nailed to the cross. But what he did is he nailed every accusation. How did he overcome evil? How did he overcome death, hell, and the grave? The word says he nailed it all to the cross, made a display of it openly. We're talking about it today. Many saw it. And he triumphed over every authority in what he did. And what did he do? He displayed what he did for you so your consciousness would never again say, I'm guilty. I mean, there wasn't much to strip the devil of. He had already been stripped. But the one thing we knew is we were guilty. We knew we were guilty. And the word says, when a comer came in the Old Testament and brought the law, that sin couldn't be removed for one reason, one reason only, because God's always forgiven. Only one reason. He said their consciousness would not allow them to be forgiven. Their consciousness. The word said, had there been a law that would have been given, it would have been given. But the consciousness of man's sin, just like Adam. The consciousness of what you did wrong. What killed Adam? He died immediately. He hid from God. His consciousness died for one reason. The fruit didn't hurt him. His doubt did. His doubt did. If it was the fruit, he'd have died. He'd have laid down in his body, would have died. But God said, in the day, God's word is true, in the day you do, you'll surely die. And immediately he did what religion does. He pointed a finger. Is that woman you gave me? Blame God. Blame the woman. Guys, stop it. Blame God for blessing you with a woman. She said, the serpent. Oh, it's a serpent. Oh, it's old Diablo. It's old Satan. No. Had nothing to do with it at all. God told you what to do, and you knew what to do. But you doubted God. You did that. No one else. You don't need any help to sin. Mankind has proven himself to be very proficient at doing it all on his own. For only one reason. One reason. Not because you're being attacked. Not because when you do good, evil follows. Where in the world is that in the word? I read when we do right by faith, we're blessed. Religion teaches you out of your blessing. There's one reason. You doubted God. Believe the Lord and you'll be blessed. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. I 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 believe God. When they ate of the tree of life, they ate the word of God. God said, all you have to do is believe me. Just believe me and you'll have dominion. God's saying the same thing to you today. Nations of the earth, believe God. Let's put everything away. Let's put all religious teaching. Let's put every excuse away and let's blame God for everything. And this is what I mean. God, you're with me. God, you're good. God, you're doing something. God, you're leading me. God, I thank you that no evil can come nigh my dwelling. I thank you that you're my shepherd. I shall not want for any good thing. You lead me in the way I'm supposed to go, and you do it for your name's sake. If I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I wouldn't know any difference because you're with me. Your presence is with me, and in your presence is fullness of joy. They can call themselves my enemies. It doesn't matter. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. When my ways please the Lord, you make even my enemies to be at peace with me. Only good will happen to me. And I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. When he hung on the cross, what he did is say, look at me. He said, look at me. Look at what I did for you so you never doubt even you again. Because you're about to do what I did. You're about to die. When you look at me and you realize that I've purged your consciousness from sin, you'll never be able to do it. You never could. You never would. There was no law given. It was only a teacher saying, this is what's going to enter into you. God said, I'm going to write my law in your heart and in your mind. You're not going to do it. You're not going to write it. You're not going to try and help me out. I'm going to put it in you. And I'm sending my son to tell you, I've come to set you free. I've come to deliver you. I don't care how bad you were. There isn't bad enough to overcome God's good. And then he said, it's finished. The reason death, hell, and the grave were so upside down is because they couldn't kill him. Death couldn't touch him. Because the wages of sin is death, and he didn't. So he couldn't die. Because he was the resurrection and the life. And for the first time, life did something that had never happened before. People had been raised from the dead. But no one had ever taken death to the grave, and that's exactly what he did. He grabbed death by the shoulders and he said, you're coming with me. And he took death to the grave, first time ever. Hell wasn't rejoicing. Hell was terrified. Hell was rent in two. And the word says, then when Christ came into a body, he was a spirit that came. Son of the living God, the Word, came into a body and he dwelt among us. And in him was the fullness of God manifest. But when he died, he laid his body down. And he said this. He said, no man takes my life. They can't. Remember when they came to get him? And he just said, I am. And they couldn't touch him. Because you can't kill life. But life can certainly snuff out death. He said, no man takes my life. No one ever took Jesus' life. No one killed him. He said, I lay it down of my own accord. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up, but I'm going to give you the same power. I'm going to give you the power to lay your life down. And by your faith in me, I'm going to raise you up. And who you used to be, you're not going to be. And this isn't through a process of an elimination of time. This is an event that takes place in your mind. You're going to grow in wisdom. You'll grow in understanding. You'll grow in knowledge. You'll grow in your relationship with God, but it's never going to change ever, 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 ever. When you make it into the kingdom of heaven, it's still going to be the same because he's endless. You'll never have a boring moment a day in your life. And when you believe God, boredom leaves you. I'm not talking about believing in God. Devils believe in God. I'm talking about believing God. I believe what you said. And I believe what you said directly to me. Peter took it very personal. He said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, You'll do it three times before the rooster crows. You'll do it three times. Peter, you can't do this on your own. No matter how much you want to. You can't do it on your own. And it's trying to do it on your own that shows you that you can't do it at all. But when you say it's no longer I, and you let your ear hear your mouth say it, and you don't contradict yourself by blaming anything or anyone else. Only God is for me. Only God is with me. And he cannot be against me. Your mind will change. Because religion teaches you and keeps you in a two-souled position, the word refers to it is, double-minded. And Paul said a two-souled or a double-minded individual is unstable in all their ways. And that's what we're feeling. The absence, the presence of what you think is evil in the world is really not the presence of evil. Just like darkness is no presence, it is no power. Darkness isn't a presence. Darkness isn't a power. Darkness is an absence. The moment light is manifest, there is no darkness. It doesn't exist at all. So is God in your life. Whatever you're fighting, whatever you're struggling, whatever you're wrestling with, according to your faith, if you believe it's a wrestling match, that's what you're going to do, and you'll never win. But if you believe he came, he laid down his life, he laid his body down, and he said, I'll be back. He went and proclaimed, the word says, to the souls even from the day of Noah. Adam and Eve got a chance to hear Jesus Christ preach the gospel. And the word says that he ascended. And it says, what is it that he ascended, but that he did not first descend into the lower part of the earth and preach to the prisoners that were held captive because of their disobedience, even the day of Noah? How great is God? No one did anything. No one did anything to make it right that was in prison, that was in the great divide. No one did anything. Except believe the word of the living God. The word of God. It's not something we do once in a while, and it's not something we work at to do. We just begin to believe as he is, so am I. His word abides in me. I'm not God, but he sure made me all that he wants me to be. He sure filled me with his spirit. He sure made me alive in him. You really shouldn't be able to tell the difference between he and you. Yeah, but we were torn apart and we were sinful and we were, Ephesians 4 and verse 18 says, and they are darkened in their understanding. Darkened in their understanding. Alienated from the life of God because of evil or shadows or the government or your boss or your friends or your family or those that don't believe. They were alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance in them. Hardness of their heart. Just refuse to believe. It's amazing to me how many people are afraid to be truly free from excuses. It's amazing to me how people like to have a confrontation with evil in order to feel any worth. In order to feel any success. But he nailed to the cross. He laid that body of sin down that didn't know any sin until he took on your, my sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God except for him. He who knew no sin, he became sin. And when he raised by the glory of the Father, before he did that, he took death by the shoulders and he took it for the first time to the grave. And when he rose, because when he died, rocks split, tomb doors opened, rocks, there wasn't one rock that rolled away from a tomb, it was many rocks that rolled away from tombs. Because the tomb couldn't keep them, the grave couldn't keep them, because death went out of business into the grave. And the word says the body of many dead saints got up and went and said, hey, mom, can you imagine that? Whoa. Can you imagine? Hey, mom. Hey, dad. Hey, grandpa. Hey, grandson. And the word says they went and were seen by many. Why? Because death has lost its grip. Because death is dead in Christ. He said, if you believe in me, you'll never die, because I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am the way. There's only one way. There's not a lot of ways. There's only one way. There's a lot of indecision. There's a lot of things to doubt about, but there's only one way. There's only one way to believe. I believe God. I believe his word. And when I believe God, I'll know. You'll know what you need to know. You'll go where you need to go. You'll never be misled. My sheep know my voice, he said. And a stranger, he said, they don't know how to follow. They only know my voice. But Paul said, you can't be two-souled. You can't be double-minded. You can't blame a spirit dark, your past, a curse. You can't blame anything except me. You're going to have to blame me for your life. You're going to have to blame me for your death, and you're going to have to blame me for the newness of life. You're going to have to just start doing what I said to do. Glorify me. Praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord, David said, at all times. Every moment, I'll bless you. I will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise, only your praise will continually be in my mouth. I worship you alone. I praise you alone. I see a generation lapping and overlapping another generation, overlapped by another generation, three generations deep, that are going to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel of men, not the gospel of tradition, not the gospel of what you've heard, but the gospel of the revelation of Jesus Christ. For the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That's the power to foretell the perfect, excellent will of God. God didn't create you and say, oh man, I should have done it differently. His ways are perfect. What is around you is for you. It will show you. It will reveal you. It will change your mind about you in the earth. And you'll know it's no longer I that lives. Look and see. There's nothing more phenomenal than God saying or doing something in you. You know you couldn't possibly know, couldn't possibly do, couldn't possibly say. And then you feel that presence. And you know it's no longer I that lives. It is Christ that's living in me. And the life I now live in this body, in this temple, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. My faith is in you. I just do one thing. I just believe you. I make it simple and make it easy. The kingdom of God is like a child. Just one thing. Jesus, I believe you. Let the children come to me in their simplicity. Let them just say, Jesus. You say it, we'll do it. God has no competition. The grave has no competition because it has nothing. It can't compete against God. It can't compete against his life. The grave doesn't have any competition to bring to the saints. It can't appear to you. It can't present itself as competition. God has no competition. He and he alone is God. He is the Lord ever present, always with you. He said, I'll never leave you. He's walking with you every single moment of every single day. But it's just one thing. Believe God. Awaken. Awaken unto righteousness. As he is, so are we in this world. Greater is he that is in me. In him I live and move and have my being. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and not anything will be impossible to me. God's healing people right here, right now, people that are watching right here, right now, without me calling out your name, without me pointing my finger, with you doing what the centurion said, speak the word only, and it will happen. Jesus said, that's great faith. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there. No time, no delay, right here, right now. I speak the word of healing. I speak the word of renewal. I speak the word of joy. I speak that God will bring unity in your families through the revelation of Christ in you. That God changes your mind and the hardness, the harshness, the callous, the uncertainty would leave your mind. And even without knowing, you have the knowing, the confidence. This confidence that surpasses all understanding. I'm being led of the Spirit of the living God. There's a generation rising up that's going to make some people in the world jealous because They've been believing for a long time, but they haven't been believing fully in who God is. There's a generation that's going to come up and they're going to embarrass those that have stood up and preached before, because they're not going to give praise or accolades to anybody but God. And God is going to move powerfully in the midst of those people, awaken minds, change lives, transform hearts. It's about transformation. It's about the change. And that doesn't take time. It just takes faith. It's one thing. I believe God. And I'm not going to contradict myself in any way. When I say I believe God, I know Romans 8:28. That's what Jesus did. He brought Romans 8:28 all together. All things are working together for your good. Because you are the called. You are the called. You are the called. You are the chosen according to His purpose. His purpose. How great is God? How great is the Lord? A love you couldn't fathom. A love you couldn't understand. A perfect love. And with that, He loved you. With that, He saved you. And with that, He's not just forgiven you. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily do any different in you. But born again does. Born again does. He said, you're not going to be who you were. He said, I'm awakening you to the newness of life. So Jesus came into the body as a spirit, the seed of promise. He walked in the body, made Himself a sacrifice, hung Himself on the tree because no one could take Him. It was impossible. He took Himself to the cross. He took the cross. He let a man carry his cross. He bore the cross. It pleased God to bruise Him. He took death to the grave. Then He became a spirit again and went into the deepest regions of lost spirits. And He said, I am He. Here I am. And they believed. And He led many captive captive. And He gave gifts to men. And He came back into the body. And He said, I died for you, but I have the power to live for you in this body, to show you you don't have to stay dead. You don't have to be ignorant or callous or hard-hearted. You don't have to feel lonely or desperate or uncertain or unwilling. You don't have to be afraid. That body I raised up, that's you. That's your body. That's your mind. I am the Word. See me live. Thomas said, let me touch you. He said, touch me. He said, if I feel the print in His hand and in His feet. But when he saw Jesus, it's a different story. When you see Him as He is, it's a different story. And Jesus knew Thomas believed then, but He said, Thomas, it's not that you believe, it's how you came to believe. Your eyes can't tell you who I am. Your senses can't tell you who I am. But the Spirit of the chosen that God has made you will tell you who I am, because I'll abide in you and I'll bear witness in you that I'm God with you. Be alive today. Not a little bit. Be all the way alive. Take off the grave clothes of your mind. There's no one competing for your position. But God has already confirmed you a champion in who He is. It's done. The battle is mine, says the Lord. He's overcome you. And He raised it in the newness of life. And He raised you in the newness of life. Not some of the old and some of the new and getting here and trying. Stop trying. Start believing. Stop doubting. Believe God. Believe the Lord. And He will establish you. Believe His prophets, you prosper. God will increase you. The blessing of the Lord is right here, right now. He's not here because we invited Him. He's here because He's God. He's always present. But when you acknowledge Him for who He is, He shows you who you are. and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is risen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give God praise this morning. He said, whatever we release from the earth will be released from the heavens. How great a power God has installed in you. You can believe anything, and the minute you believe it, it will begin. It's like a seed. The minute you plant it in the ground, it begins. The minute you plant it in the ground. But what happens so oftentimes is the tilling of the soil, you think you're under attack. The tilling of your heart and your mind, you think God is not with you. Well, you know what changes all that? To look and say, he destroyed every authority and principality. How? By transforming my mind to let me know he is the only authority and I am clean through his blood. I am raised to eternal life through the life that is in him. He is the resurrection and the life. And no matter what's going on in my life, I give God praise because I know he's leading me. He's stirring my heart and he's stirring my mind. He's leading me in the way that I should go. Just like David did. His brothers were against him, but God was compelling him to do what he did. No one believed him. The king's armor wouldn't fit. Nothing was going right that day. His brothers rebuked him, called him names. He steps out in front of a champion, a giant that dwarfed him. He starts making fun of David. Nothing was going now. Nothing was going right that day at all. But David said, I didn't come to fight. I came to prophesy. And everything you say about me is going to happen to you. Because I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that's who we come in the name of. And God gave him great victory that wasn't through a battle. And you know this. David never fought well. He believed well. And God gave him victory. God's given you victory today over your mind, over your body. And I speak the healing power of Almighty God over your life, over your mind, and into your body. God healed you. God renew you. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, you are healed. Stand with me if you would. If you have your wristband on, you can do this. If you don't, you can tug on your shirt, your tie, your collar. This is what we call pulling on heaven. It's what we do 24/7. The woman reached out and grabbed Jesus' garment. We're reaching out, grabbing the virtue of his presence because he's omnipresent. Our faith says, just like Jesus said, when they said, where's the kingdom? He said, it's in you. It's wrapped around you. The kingdom of God abides in you. And whatever you release from the earth will be released from the heavens. Whatever you bind from the earth will be bound in the heavens. So we bind ignorance and religion and doubt and unbelief in the name of Jesus. Heaven is wrapped around you as tightly as this rope is wrapped around me. He is ever present with you. Whatever we release from the earth is released from the heavens. In the name of Jesus, we release the spirit of revelation, the spirit of repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The spirit of truth, the understanding of we are blessed of the Lord. We are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto our God. You can't step out these doors if you believe God without being changed, being healed. Let it be confirmed in you. You are well. Let it be confirmed in you. Christ is in you. Let it be confirmed with you. God is with you. Let it be confirmed in you. He has blessed you and called you his own. This is the greatest season of your life. Do you believe it? This is the day God has made. I'll rejoice and I'll be glad in it. God's hands are over you. I'm looking at a generation that's making a difference. I'm even looking in the lens of the camera right into your eyes saying, you're the difference. The offering God wants is the offering you are. Lay your life down. He doesn't need any help because he doesn't have any competition. He just wants you to believe in him and him alone. For he and he alone is God. He is present with you. Let absence leave you. Let his presence fill you. Father, we give you praise. Everyone said,